More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, building trust. Are you struggling with trusting yourself or others? We're going to help you set you on the right path. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about building trust. You know, it can be hard to know whom to trust and how to rebuild trust when it's damaged. Has someone you care about broken your trust? Do you struggle with knowing whether someone is trustworthy in the first place or can be trusted again? Maybe you have a hard time trusting yourself for some reason. Whatever the issues are, we want to help you negotiate the challenges that come with building and keeping and rebuilding trust. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
I think Fridays are an interesting day to discuss this topic. Because, well, first of all, the religious connotations of a Friday is even Jesus had people who betrayed him. I mean, he knew they would, and he knew they were part of the plan, but he did experience this idea of people swearing they were going to be trustworthy and not being. So this is, when we look at that, we can see it's part of our fallen world. It's not necessarily our fault, because so many of us beat ourselves up and steal our own power when we get into that headspace that Satan wants us to believe, that, you know, somehow we're the broken ones, and that's why these people have betrayed us or acted in an untrustworthy manner. To know that our Lord went through this is, I think, very helpful, and of course we always look at that on every Friday of the year. But the other thing about Fridays is that there's sort of the social pressure to be with people. And some of us love that, some of us don't, but it's there. The weekend is here. What are you doing? And it assumes that you're going to be with people. And that can be, I hate to, it's such an overused word, but it can be a little triggering for people who have either felt that they can't trust people in the past, so when they go out and maybe meeting new people in a social situation, they get very scared. They say, how can I know I can enter into any kind of a relationship with these people? I'm really nervous about this, and it affects your life. So if it's a broader situation like that, of course, we're here to help you figure out how to even trust yourself and how to trust new people in your life. But also, weekends bring that I need to see or catch up with these particular people, my parents, my adult child that I'm not too sure that I trust, my siblings, my friends who, are they really good friends or are they just sort of a little untrustworthy? I don't know if I should be in this relationship. It's one of those days of the week that makes us start thinking about relationship a little bit more than we do on the Monday through Thursday 9 to 5 kind of life, or you know, however long you have to do it. So if the weekend or something in your life or just the topic of this show is making you think, can I trust to let somebody into my life? Do I have the skills to determine this? Are these people good for me? How do I deal with the people I know aren't so trustworthy, but I still have to have them in my life by their position in my life? What do I do with all of this? Well, those questions for you personally will be answered today if you give us a call at 877 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the insights from St. John Paul's Theology of the Body and how they inform our topic of the day.
And today, it reminds us that we are made for love, and that our greatest mission in life is to build and actively participate in what the Theology of the Body calls a community of love. It's trust that makes building that community possible. Trust is the quality that allows us to count on another person to be consistently loving toward us, not just when they feel like it or when it's easy or when they want something from us, but every day, unconditionally.
Trust is the evidence that a person has the ability to do what they say they're going to do, the desire to consistently work for our good in the first place, and the integrity to correct themselves, or at least be easily corrected, when they occasionally behave unlovingly. You know, a lack of trust makes it impossible to build an authentically loving relationship, because you can't count the loving actions and attitude that another person displays in this particular moment will be there in the next. Trust is the quality that allows us to focus on giving ourselves to each other instead of having to focus on protecting ourselves from each other.
That's very, very true. But I think we need to hit on one particular note that I talked about, which is this idea of people being there, not just when it's easy, but every single day. And I used the word unconditionally. And as you were talking, I kind of got this sense in the back of my brain that said, well, that's part of the reason that a lot of Christians don't feel like they can trust themselves, because we have this mandate to love unconditionally. And the definition of that is what we need to tease out, because when we talk about loving someone, what we're talking about is working for their good. But when we hear the secular version of unconditional love, we think putting up with any kind of nonsense they put us through.
Yeah, I mean, sort of the secular understanding of unconditional love is I'm never going to do anything that upsets another person.
And I'm going to let you get away with whatever I want and just try to be as bizarrely stoically Christian, those two words can't really go together, as I can be by just taking it all. You know, whatever your brokenness is, whatever you take out on me, I will go with unconditionally loving you and letting you trash my heart, mind, and soul.
No, but love means working for the good of another person, and unconditional love means working for their good unconditionally.
That's right.
You know, so it's not about putting up with things. It's not about being a doormat. It's not about letting people get away with stuff. It's not about never upsetting anybody. It's about working for their good, regardless of the circumstances and regardless of how you feel about it. And you know, we have a commitment to try to bring out the best in each other, no matter what. 877-573-7825. You know, another thing we just kind of mentioned in this, in our TOB reflection, was the idea that trust is that quality that enables us to give ourselves to each other instead of protecting ourselves from each other. Is there someone in your life that you do feel like you have to protect yourself from?
Yeah.
You know, you have to walk on eggshells around them. You have to tiptoe around them. You're never quite sure how they're going to respond to this or that. I mean, that is a lack of trust. That's a failure of trust in that relationship.
I think we all have that person. That person, when we see their name come up on our phone in any way, shape, or form, on any platform, we kind of tense all our muscles up. You know, when we have to engage with them at all in person, we start to think, hey, Lord, can you get this canceled? Because I really don't have the energy to deal with this today. If you have that person where you're thinking, I don't know how they're going to react, I don't know if I can handle this, what is this going to be like? That's that person that you're not entirely sure that you feel is trustworthy to work for your good, to be open to you working for their good, to have a relationship that you can feel your best self in. Sometimes those are the people that are living right under the roof, or the same roof with us. Other times those are people we have to see occasionally or at work. But it is really important to realize that when you have that feeling where everything sort of tenses up and you say, uh-oh, when you see that name or get contact from that person, That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit saying, recognize that something is not in right order here. And turn to me, God is saying, not just to tell me to fix it, but to ask me what to do. What to do about it that will be healthy for you and this other person.
877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about trust today on More to Life. The number to call, 877-573-7825. Let's bring our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father,
and
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for this opportunity to be with you and to share this time learning how to trust you, how to trust ourselves, and how to trust others. Lord, we ask your blessing on all of our relationships, especially those difficult relationships where we are feeling like we don't know how to trust somebody or how to rebuild trust with someone who has hurt us or damaged that trust. We ask you, Lord, to give us the wisdom that we need to respond gracefully to those situations, to know how to set appropriate boundaries so that our relationships can be healthy, and to know how to make it safe to build trust in ways that enable us to give ourselves to each other instead of protecting ourselves from each other. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name,
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, building trust. It can be hard to know whom you can trust and how to rebuild trust when it's damaged. Has someone you care about broken your trust, betrayed you in some way, hurt you, let you down? Do you struggle to know how someone's going to react, and so you're always on edge around them? That's an issue of trust. Do you have a hard time knowing who you can trust in the first place? Whatever the issues are, we want to help you negotiate those challenges that come with trust. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Paul, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey.
Hi, Paul. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
I have two daughters. One of them's 26. She's involved in the same-sex relationship but for about 2 years.
Okay.
We took the position that we are not going to allow our daughter to come over our house with her friend.
Okay.
We got advice from a priest and said we can't be complicit in that kind of relationship. So that was... Our daughter used to come over for about a year by herself, and she says, oh, I don't want to, you know, shove it in your face. But now she's taking a position where she doesn't want to talk to us, doesn't answer our text or anything. So we have a kind of a severed relationship. We don't know if we are doing the right thing by doing that.
So you have no contact with her at all at this point? Did she respond to you at all when you try to reach out to her, or...?
She hasn't responded at all. She doesn't live far from us. So we have another daughter who's 20 who's in contact with her. She lives on her own. She is involved. She moved out of the house. She's living with her boyfriend, which we told her we don't approve of. But we do allow her and her boyfriend to come over because we felt that, well, that's at least that's a natural relationship. It's not a unnatural one. So that I think my older daughter feels that we allow him over, but we don't allow her with her girlfriend over. That's kind of the dilemma we're in. The priest advised us we don't want to be complicit in this sin. So we don't know if we're being too strict or where can we go from here.
I think being complicit in the sin would be, in either case, letting your daughter, you know, sleep with their boyfriend or girlfriend in your home, for example, you know, that's being complicit in that. But having a relationship with your daughters, it would just simply a relationship, even even with their friends, is not inappropriate in and of itself. I would really encourage you to go. I don't know if you're familiar with the group Encourage, actually, but it's part of Courage International, which is a ministry, a faithful ministry to Catholics who are struggling with same-sex attraction. They have a sister program called Encourage for Families. If you go to couragerc.org, you can find out more information about that program. Are you're saying, sound like you're familiar with it. Are you part of the program at all?
We've been to two meetings in the past. We went to one like a year and a half ago when we started a relationship with her, talking with our daughter. Then we went to one about just a few months ago before she severed everything. And some people seem like they're still accepting of their, they'll still see their, one person hasn't seen their daughter, their kid in like 5 years. The other one allows the daughter to come over with the girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So,
well, again, in either case, okay, so you have two daughters, both of them are in inappropriate relationships, right? And so you cannot do anything that would facilitate those relationships, but you can do things that would allow you to accompany your daughters to living a healthier life, which means maintaining some kind of relationship with both of them.
I mean, let's go back to Jesus Christ himself. There were an awful lot of very religious people of the time who said, how can you hang out with these sinners? It's against every rule we have. It's impure. You can't do this. And Jesus did. Now, he never was complicit in their sin. He never validated their sin. But he had the relationship with them to open their hearts so that when he had opportunities in love to say, go and sin no more. You're worth more than this. Can we do any better than follow Christ's example?
So in either case, having, you know, for example, your daughters and their friends over for dinner would not be inappropriate. Having your daughters and their friends over and letting them sleep together in your house would be inappropriate. Right? So it's about the way you want to guide yourself through this, or pray your way through this, is to say, you know, Lord, help me to know how to have a relationship with my daughters in a way that will allow you to work through me to work for their good long term. You know, how can I be involved in their lives and in the lives of their friends so that I can show your love and show that healthier, godlier way of living? And let God speak through you, you know, to them. You know, the issue here is, you know, it's all about working for their good. And there are sometimes, you know, with some issues, let's take it off of this topic in particular, mm-hmm. but there's sometimes where some issues where if we say to somebody, look, you know, you're doing something that's hurtful or you're doing something that's wrong, and I can't see you until you've addressed that. And if that works, if that's bearing good fruit, well, that can be an appropriate thing to do because we're working for their good. And that intervention produces it shocks that person into saying, oh my gosh, I don't want to lose this relationship with this person that I love and it's important to me. So I'm willing to give up this thing that I'm doing that's hurting that relationship. You know, that approach isn't working in this case. In fact, the approach that you're taking is effectively blocking the Holy Spirit from being able to work through you to touch your daughter's hearts. So I want you to really kind of look at that. I mean, so the idea, yes, you cannot be complicit in a sinful act. But that's not the same thing as having them over for dinner, for instance, or, you know, be relating to them in any way.
Having a conversation, being able to text and say, how are you doing today? What's going on for you? How's work? Being able to meet them in a restaurant if you're not comfortable having them in your house. But also really remembering, I think it is interesting that you're the first daughter you're talking about, really, it seems to me from what I've heard you say, she really cut off ties when you started to let her sister bring the boyfriend who she's sleeping with over. She saw that it wasn't a straight standard of mom and dad are fervently Catholic. They want us all living by the precepts of the Catholic Church, and they're holding that line. Suddenly, she sensed a hypocrisy that made her say, well, maybe it's just me, or maybe they feel this way, or maybe that, and that blurred the line.
In her mind, it wasn't mom and dad are maintaining consistent standards. It was mom and dad hate gay people.
Or picking and choosing, or whatever was going through her mind. So we have to remember that, you know, we do have a great, great, wonderful teachings that guide our lives in the Catholic Church, but we have to hold to them, not with a sense of scrupulosity, but in a sense, with a sense of this is my standard in all situations, and how can I be loving while holding on to that standard?
And being
in
loving
all
means
situations.
Working for their good.
Exactly.
How can I maintain the relationship that will allow me to work for their good? Paul, I'd really encourage you, again, to go back to Encourage on a regular basis. You said you've been to 2 meetings over the course of several years. I think this is one of those things where you have to be meeting on a very regular basis, weekly, with other folks who are in this situation who can work this all out together and not just sort of treat it as a, you know, I'm going here to get some advice and then I'm going to just wander off. You know, you really have to be
support.
In a relationship with a good support group. Thanks for the call, Paul. And again, that website for anyone who's interested is couragerc.org. Couragerc.org. We have to go to break. When we come back, we are talking with you about trust issues, and we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, who'll be sharing some insights on ways that we can more effectively know who we can trust. 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back right after this.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. charitymobile.com.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 75% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking about trust today on More to Life. How can you know who to trust in the first place? How can you rebuild trust when it's damaged? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in sports and performance psychology. She's the director of our St. Sebastian Program for Performance Excellence. Welcome, Rachel.
Great to be here.
So we were talking about trust today, and you wanted to share some insights on how we can help people who are struggling with questions of trust.
Yeah, well, I think that, certainly trust is kind of one of those touchy subjects for us because it's such a vulnerable topic. But I think really, first, in order to trust other people, we have to be able to trust ourselves. You know, meaning that we have to be able to trust ourselves to set and maintain boundaries with other people or to be able to handle ourselves effectively in a situation. Because if we can't be trustworthy, we're really going to struggle believing that anybody else can be either. So I think a few ways that we can really kind of build our own ability to trust ourselves and build that confidence within ourselves include being intentional about setting and maintaining our own boundaries with other people instead of kind of expecting the other person to have that follow through instead. Speaking up for ourselves when we have a need, actually doing what we say we're going to do, so essentially kind of letting our yes be yes and our no be no, you know, showing up on time to meetings or events, right? All of these things, you know, are things that if we do them and if we do them consistently, not only will we be able to trust ourselves more, but they'll help actually make us a more trustworthy person in general, which is going to allow other people to trust us, right? And this creates kind of a pattern that really allows us to trust other people more effectively, because through this, we're going to have a better understanding of who is truly trustworthy and who's not, because we ourselves are now embodying
Honing that skill. And I think that a lot of people, because of the way we grow up, think that we have to ask permission from other people. You know, can I? I want to trust you. Can I trust you? You know, never, as you said, getting our own needs met. Give us one tip on how to get started in trusting ourselves just today.
Just today, I think it's, you know, setting one small goal, you know, to be able to say, I'm going to do this thing, and then following through and doing it. You know, again, whether it's something small, like I'm going to text a friend that I haven't talked to in a while, or, you know, I'm going to do something special for somebody, right? Like, you know, whatever that is, setting that small goal and then actually meeting that, you know, because then we have that sense of accomplishment. We have that sense of, I said I was going to do something and I did it, you know, and it's just starting kind of in that small way every day, you know, again, kind of if I have an event, show up on time, you know.
We begin to trust ourselves and build a knowledge of who we are as children of God so that we can set those boundaries with other people.
Rachel Isaac, thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about her good work, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com. Be sure to check out the St. Sebastian Program for Performance Excellence at CatholicCounselors.com as well. We are taking your calls, listeners, about trust and the challenges we face in trusting others. 877-573-7825.
Mississippi presented a brief to the Supreme Court, and in that brief, the state of Mississippi argued that the Constitution of the United States does not confer a right to abortion, asking the court to finally admit that cases claiming there is such a right, Roe v. Wade, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, have been wrongly decided and need to be overruled. Now, make no mistake, this is coming to a very different Supreme Court than we've had in the past, because former President Trump kept his promise to appoint originalist judges. And even if we assume they regard Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey as bad decisions, we really don't know how they might go about revising, dismantling, you know, reforming Roe. This is going to be a very consequential Supreme Court case.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio. Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band. And I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child. But I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Arguments between siblings are inevitable. We all want our children to develop strong bonds, but to do this, it's important to remember the healthiest sibling relationships begin from day one. And I do mean day one. Allow your older child to play some role in the new baby's birth. The status quo is to ship the older sibling off to some relative's house until the new baby comes home. But allowing your older child to participate in some way will solidify your older and younger child's place in the family and their relationship with one another. Whether that's cutting the cord, cuddling their sibling soon after birth, or helping give baby its first bath, we've found that if the older child is involved in some way, the baby will be better received and you will lay a solid foundation for a healthy relationship. For more tips on how to foster healthy family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking today about trust on More to Life. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And it can be hard to know whom to trust and how to rebuild trust when it's damaged or broken. Has someone you care about damaged your trust? Do you wonder whether you can rebuild trust or whether it's safe to rebuild trust?
Have you broken someone's trust? Have you made an error in your life and now they don't trust you and you're not sure what to do to get their trust back? That can happen too, because we are all fallible. But trust is so important in building the kingdom of God and having the relationships that we need to be healthy, holy people. If you're struggling with this in any way today, we are here for you on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's talk now with Jennifer, who's listening to EWTN Radio in South Carolina.
Easy for you to say. Hey, Jennifer, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
So, I live in South Carolina, and we are in a wonderful state where things are free and open. And I lost my husband 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jennifer.
Thank you. His family lives in Massachusetts, which is very different from South Carolina. And they have a very different perspective on vaccinations.
Okay.
So this isn't a political pitching things out there. It's not political by any means. I'm not anti-vax, but we choose for my family, my two children and myself, we choose not to get the vaccination. And so we have two microbiologists in the family that both work for a company.
You don't have to justify yourself to us. But just,
yeah, so how is this causing problems in your family life?
Thank you. Yeah, it is. And the other thing is, so the pitch is more this. They're atheist, and I'm Catholic. So we can either be the Republican morons and either be viewed as right. And it's not to me about right or wrong. It's about, it is boundaries, and it's my body, my choice, and my children's body and their choice. But what we want to be shown to this family who actually loves me even more so than my own Catholic family is we want them to know our love, that I even questioned whether I should get the vaccination because the Holy Spirit's going to cover it anyway. And but the point is still, we choose not to get it.
Okay, so how is this causing problems? Because they are very far away from you.
Well, you told your screener that there's conflict between you and this extended family. So what's the issue here that we can help you with?
Yeah, the issue is they keep bringing up in the conversation everything that they disagree with not wearing face masks and not getting the vaccination, as though they start each of the conversations off, there's no good reason not to get it, and you guys.
So are you entering into that debate with them every single time, or have you been able to say to them, Jennifer, I love you guys so much. Thank you for caring about my well-being and the well-being of my family. I'm so looking forward to the time where this whole miserable mess is behind us so we can actually see each other face to face. But I just feel like we're burning up so much emotional energy talking about this every time. Tell me what's going on with you guys. How's work? How's everything going in your life? How are the kids? And switching to a relational conversation instead of allowing this to mire your relational conversations with them. Have you tried that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that is what it boils down to. And maybe what I am is, I shouldn't say fearful, but what I'm trying to do is, again, the word that we've used earlier, like in this morning's show, is the word protecting ourselves. So I guess part of me wants to put a bubble around me saying, hey, don't bring it up every time, because all it does is make me clench down and I don't feel like I can open up to you anymore. Even though you bring up every time, there's no good reason not to get it, and those people are stupid. What are they, stupid or something? Because they bring up those things up, and it's like, you were condescending to me, and now I don't feel like being vulnerable with you about anything. So,
well, I mean, I don't know if you might not be vulnerable with them, but you can have a pleasant, superficial relationship with them. I mean,
slightly deeper. What it is really shifting the focus, because, please, Jesus, one day this will all be behind us, and we still want to be in relationship with people when this is all gone, and life is not about this all the time anymore. And so you have two choices. You know, there's the choice of what I just said, which is they bring it up, and you say, oh, well, thank you for being so concerned about me, but I just really want to talk about you guys and tell me how you're doing, and then really work on the relationship. If they keep pounding against that wall for you, saying, look, I love you too much to make this the entirety of our relationship. Let's put this conversation behind us, especially since we're not seeing each other physically. We're so far apart. You're in the north. We're in the south. This is not something that we have to decide upon in order to see one another. Just tell me how you're doing. Tell me about your lives. Let me tell you about the kids. And let's not make our relationship about this anymore, because I love you guys too much to limit our relationship in this way. That way you're letting them know you love them, but you're also drawing a boundary about what you are or are not willing to discuss. And you could draw the same boundary around any topic that you disagreed with.
Yeah, it's important to not let our relationships become about any one thing. And you know, whether it's this or any other issue that somebody, you know, is either passionate about or sort of obsessed with, you know, it's okay if we disagree with them to set a boundary with it and say, you know, I appreciate your thoughts on this. I appreciate your concern for me, but you know, what else is going on in our lives? Let's not make our whole relationship be about this, because, you know, from a theology of the body perspective, it's easy to make a person into a project, right?
And there's a lot of that going on, and actually.
The calls we've taken today, that's sort of been the case. You know, with our first caller, his daughter felt like she was a project instead of a person, and she was rebelling against that. You know, in this case, Jennifer feels like she's a project instead of a person to her extended family, and she's, you know,
she can't be vulnerable. Yeah, she cannot feel like you can trust someone and feel like you're in an honest, vulnerable relationship with somebody who's treating you as a project or an object instead of a human person.
So, you know, the how to handle it practically speaking is exactly what Lisa was just saying. But I think the reason that you feel so frustrated right now is that you do feel like they're treating you more like a project than a person. I think it's coming from a place of concern, genuine concern for you. But anytime, regardless of what our intentions are, if we treat somebody like a project instead of a person, we end up feeling that sense of repulsion, you know, in us, because we weren't created for that. So, Jennifer, I hope that setting these limits will help you move forward and help you understand how to relate to them and how to process this. But thank you so much for the call. We do talk more about these kinds of boundaries in God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. I think it'll be a helpful resource for you. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about trust and how to build trust with people, how to rebuild trust when it's been damaged or broken in some way. How do you know who you can trust even in the first place, or even how you can rebuild trust if you've hurt that relationship? We're here for you. 877-573-7825.
Or even if you're not quite sure you trust your own instincts on something and you just want to check with somebody and say, I think this is right, but I'm not sure. Can you help me out? We're here for you today. 877-573-7825.
And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
You know, one of the reasons I chose this scripture for today was because I think that when we get into these situations where we don't know whether we can trust somebody or whether we, how do we rebuild trust with somebody or whether it's safe to rebuild trust with somebody, we try to figure it out on our own. Or we sort of throw a prayer up there and say, oh, Lord, fix this, you know, which is fine. I mean, God receives whatever prayers we want to give him, you know. But I think that this verse reminds us to go to God and say, okay, Lord, teach me how to respond to this in a way that will bring out the best in all of us. Help me to know exactly that, how to have the wisdom and the grace that I need to bring out the best in both of us so that whatever decision I make, whether it's to set a boundary or be more vulnerable or, you know, rebuild this trust or put a hold on it, that I'm doing it because I believe that I'm genuinely working for the good of everybody involved. Teach me what that means and how to do that. Because when we do that, then we are trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts. And we are not leaning on our own understanding. And we're asking him to instruct us so that we can, so that he can make straight our paths.
Well, and we have to have humility to admit that our own understanding is so limited. I remember early in our homeschooling days, there was a story in the National Catholic Reader that talked about these, I'll get the number wrong, so just give me some wideness here on this. But I believe it was five men, they were all blind in this story, and there was an elephant. And they each were feeling different parts of the elephant, trying to discern what it was. And so one person was feeling the leg of the elephant and said, oh, it's a tree. And the other one was feeling the tail of the elephant and said, oh, it's a paintbrush. And the other one was feeling the trunk of the elephant and said, oh, it's a hose. That's sort of our own understanding, right? We have this God of the universe that created everything, who knows what we are capable of, what he has to give us, what our charisms are in life, and we just kind of see one little part of it. And if we do that, we are limiting the Holy Spirit in our lives to work, to enlighten us, to give us the kind of life he wants us to have, to allow us to cooperate in making other people's lives richer and closer to God. We can only even begin to move past that limited understanding when we ask the Creator God of the universe, What's your viewpoint on this, Lord? What do you want me to do with it? So starting with that humility and trust in God in the beginning is really where to go with this. So if you want to write it down, it's Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
877-573-7825. If you are struggling with questions of trust, either who to trust in the first place, how to rebuild broken or damaged trust, how you can trust yourself, or God even for that matter, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about trust on More to Life. Building trust, rebuilding trust, how do you know whether you can trust somebody in the first place, struggles with trusting yourself or God for that matter. Trust is necessary for relationships because it helps us give ourselves to each other instead of having to protect ourselves from each other. But it's hard to know how to negotiate those challenges related to trust. We're here to help you do that today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia.
Hey there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
What?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. What's your question for us?
Yes, I was just calling. I'm in a relationship with someone. It's a dating relationship, and I had broken it off for a while due to their behavior. Since then, they're in counseling, and I found out that they were diagnosed as, a young person with Tourette's and ADHD and anxiety. And now I understand a lot of what that behavior, is attributed to, and didn't know if I should trust to go forward since they are in counseling and are working on things. I just wanted to get your take on that.
Well, tell me how has their behavior impacted your relationship?
Impulsivity and outbursts. Sometimes poor choices.
For instance, can you walk me through an example or two?
One thing, bringing up, I was married before many years ago. I don't bring that up or anything, but they do. I think it's an insecurity thing.
So they bring up your former marriage to you and sort of.
Yes. My former spouse.
In a negative way, like about in a judging way about you?
And just talking about how bad my ex. I don't talk about him.
So you've put this in its place, and he keeps bringing it up to you. Here's the thing. I'm going to just woman to woman here. I'm going to reach out and say, he never told you this, even though he was diagnosed as a child. He could have entered the relationship, and as you decided to go into a more permanent, exclusive relationship, said to you, look, these are things that go on in my life. These are the kinds of behaviors that sometimes come to the surface. I'm working with a therapist on this. If you would like to see my therapist with me so we can talk about how to set some standards in the relationship and you can get insight into my diagnoses, I'm more than willing to do that. That would be the upfront, trustworthy way to have handled this. He did none of those things. He pushes your boundaries. He's not kind to you. I'm not sure he can just rock back on, I have these diagnoses. Yeah. This is more lack of respect.
And honestly, best case scenario, with that previous behavior, it's going to take a long time for him to address these issues. You're not under any obligation to wait around for him to do that. This is something that he needs to work through. I hope that he has other supports in his life, but you don't have to be one of them if the relationship is causing more problems than giving you the support that you need. We make these attachments, and it's that's fine, but you have to really ask yourself in any relationship, are we really able to work for each other's good, right? Mm-hmm. And so just because he has a label now,
he's had it since childhood,
yeah,
but he just didn't disclose anything.
Yeah. And he's just getting help for it. Now, I don't, unless you really feel like he's in a position where he can support you and that he is not doing those offensive things, I think you're better off leaving that that break that you put into the relationship.
My gut instinct is, as a woman in this situation, he wasn't upfront with you. He's not putting your good before his own comfort zone of just, hey, I want to find somebody to date and I won't really, be mature about this and handle it together. I'm just going to make her crazy until she breaks up with me and then I'll rock back on the excuse. I go with your instinct in this. I think that you knew what it was and now you're just feeling a little guilty.
All right. Thanks for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. Let's go to Tricia, who's listening in Louisiana. Hey, Tricia, welcome to More to Life. What's going on? Tricia, are you there?
Maybe we lost.
You know what? We've only got a couple minutes.
Can you hear me?
Now you're there.
Okay, great.
So, yeah, we've only got a couple minutes, so let me summarize your question here. You told our screener that you're having a hard time trusting God after the hurricane and that it seems like when you pray, God just does whatever he wants to do anyway, so why bother praying? Is that a fair summary of how you're feeling?
Pretty much, and I'm working through it, but, man, I need a lift
to help me
get through this because I was already having, struggling with that issue, after the election and then with the pandemic and certain other things that, time won't allow me to get into right now.
That's all right. Well, and I'm going to cut you short just because we've only got a couple of minutes before they kick us out of here, and I want to be able to say something that will actually give you something to hold on to. So I apologize for jumping in here, Tricia. I just wanted to make sure that we had the basic facts. So here's the thing, and what you're talking about here, this challenge of trusting God, because sometimes we feel like when we pray, God does whatever he wants to do anyway, so why do we bother praying in the first place? It sort of bases on those assumptions on some false assumptions here. So suffering exists because of the fall. That is the natural state of things. We have a tendency to think that, when things are going well, God is in control, and when things aren't going well, God has dropped the ball. What we need to realize is that there's nothing in our Christian story that supports that idea. Everything is supposed to be awful all the time. That's what the fall means, right? There was a balance where everything was perfect and everything worked exactly the way it should before the fall. After the fall, everything was supposed to be horrible all the time. The fact that anything good exists at all is a sign that God is putting it all back together bit by bit. So when we pray, it's not okay. Certainly we can say, God, protect me from these things. God, if it's your will, let this cup pass, just like Jesus did, right? But we don't pray specifically to protect us from bad things happening, because bad things are always going to happen. This is not God's kingdom, this earth, right? What we pray for is to have God teach us how to respond to all the awful that just naturally exists in this fallen world, so that we can cooperate with his grace to set things right. So we pray certainly for his protection, but we primarily pray that whatever is going on around us, that we can respond to it in a way that gives glory to God and helps to right those wrongs that we encounter, deal with those evils that we face gracefully, and build his kingdom in everything that we're doing. So when you're praying, there's no guarantee that everything's going to work out great. We don't submit a work order to God and then get mad at him when, the delivery is delayed. We go to God and say, Lord, we trust you to take care of us, whatever's going on around us, and we pray that you would protect us from these things to the degree that it's possible. But when it's not possible, we trust that you will teach us how to respond to these things in a way that will help us to glorify you, work for the good of everyone around us, and be our best selves. And I don't mean for that, by the way, to be I mean, I realize that's not going to take away your pain. You know, painful things are painful, and the suffering that you've endured is horrible.
It's horrifically
painful. And so I my sympathy is with you on that. My empathy is with you on that. But whenever it comes to our relationship with God and suffering and evil, it's very, you know, it's important to realize what role he plays in this. It is not that God, that when things are going well, God is in control, and when things are not going well, God's dropped the ball. It's that this is not his kingdom. And suffering is supposed to be happening all the time. The fact that we're not constantly in misery and pain is a sign of his mercy, bringing order out of the chaos, bringing peace out of the pain, bringing good out of all the evil. And every good thing that happens in this world is because God is blessing you and saying, I love you and I want to give you this gift, because none of those things are supposed to happen. It's supposed to be awful all the time. So when we pray, we have to ask God, teach me to respond to the suffering that I'm experiencing. Yes, protect me to the degree that it's possible from those things. But when they come, as inevitably they will, help me to respond to them in a way that will glorify you and show your power in the world. Thank you, Tricia, for that question. I know that you're not the only one who feels that way. And let's keep talking about this on the program. It's a great, great topic. Right now, though, we got to head out. And if you'd like to learn more about ways that we can support you in your personal, emotional, or spiritual journey, come to CatholicCounselors.com and check out the many resources we have. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.